Yeah. No, I'm on the air. Hi, how you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, you got to get the right directions, so we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences show on BBSRadio.com. Okay, I'm ready. Go. Where's my ticket to the ship, man?
A wise old owl sat in a nook. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that?
Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight, we're going to talk about how we can overcome illusions. Yes, one of my more, I'll say, personal subjects, because I find myself in illusions sometimes. Unfortunately, whenever I do, it's always after the fact. That's one of the problems we'll be talking about. It's not the fun part about illusion, but it is the one of the facts about it. And also, I'm hopefully going to be able to share some of my own experiences, as well as maybe answer some questions. If you want to call in, you can do that. I'm not even going to give you a phone number right now. I got to change sheets here. Here it is. Okay, you can call in if you want to ask about your illusions, somebody else's illusions, or anything else dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, because that's what we talk about here. And you can call in at 877-876-5227 if you are in the U.S. Now, if you happen to be in Canada and you're liking it up there, it's cool, I imagine. 888-815-9756. Give us a call and talk about anything dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, or if you have some ideas or thoughts about illusions, certainly call in. Now, I'm going to give you my definitions. You know, I always do that. I start off with a definition of what I call illusion. And, of course, it is mine, so I own it. And if it's screwball or if you don't like it, sure, I'm willing to discuss that. But my idea of what illusion is it's an inability to really perceive and be conscious, both, of one's own reality. In other words, what is going on around us is not what's really going on. So if you can't perceive it very well, and if you're not further conscious about it, those are two different things I'll explain in a minute, then a person is in illusion. And the reason it's called illusion is because when someone is completely perceiving correctly, and when they are completely conscious of what they perceive, then they are illuminated. And literally, they are enlightened, and information goes through them and is used at the speed of light, and they are conscious at a level in which they can connect all the information to anything and everything that they find relevant or important to do so. Wow. That's what I mean by perception and consciousness. The ability to connect is very important. A lot of people don't understand what consciousness is. I know that a lot of people think it's like knowledge. Well, knowledge is a step. It's a step to get to consciousness. If we were to perceive something and then want to do something with the information that we are perceiving, that we're aware of, we would need to convert it into some form of meaningful, we'll say, collective information, which we then call knowledge. It's like, I know something now because I have this information and I put it together, like 2 and 2 is 4. No, the 2 plus 2 is 4. But the knowledge does not necessarily connect us to anyone or anything else. It's sort of like, there it is, isn't it wonderful? But how do I use it to be creative? And especially, how do I use it to co-create with my creator and others who are doing the same? I like that part. And how do I do that? And that's where consciousness comes in, the ability to understand the connections of everything, including how our own knowledge can be connected to anything and everything around us. Consciousness is a big thing. When one is not conscious, besides not being able to use knowledge very effectively, one is at the same time disconnected and maybe unconscious, meaning that you can't connect anything to anything, and then if you're in a totally unconscious state, you're just not with the program. That doesn't mean you're not perceiving anything. Technically, and some neurologists will agree with this, one could perceive things and be aware of some things, but on a subconscious or even unconscious level, without being able to connect it in any conscious way. So actually there is a state below the conscious one. But that's it for another time. I don't want to get too deep into that side of things. All right, so let's start off with this business about, okay, well, it starts with perception. It starts with awareness. Awareness comes through our senses. Our senses are the key. If we don't have senses, we're not going to be able to say that we are illumined and enlightened and aware and conscious. Our senses are the critical element. And this is, I'm going to start off with the basics, the very basic side of things. One needs to have good senses in order to get anywhere in this whole idea of getting over illusion. Senses is where you start from. Now, for those of you who might say, well, my senses seem to work okay, you know, I can feel something when I touch it, I can smell something, I taste something, I can see something, well, that's good. I'm glad. However, senses are kind of a relative thing, and even in a person who senses very well, and they do a great job of their sensing, those people have their ups and downs. Yeah, our senses don't remain in the same pristine state from one minute to the next, one day to the next, certainly not one week or month to the next. Why do they change? Well, they change because we make choices in our life that doesn't use our senses, in ways that are completely unselfish. We focus in on ourselves from time to time, and it could be for silly things like, gee, I just like to have a little fun and do this thing or that thing, to I want to go out and get drunk and maybe do some illicit drugs or something like that, or I want to have an unusually, we'll say, stressful but exciting experience, which might even damage my body's and senses in the process. We choose to do these things. You might say, why? Well, the reason is because we want to divert our attention from the things in life that cause us frustration, particularly fear and anxiety, and uncomfortable feelings. So we are looking for a ways to get away from the things that bother us from moment to moment. And so we misuse our senses. This sounds bizarre, but it's true. We misuse our senses and harm our bodies because things frighten us. Because we're mostly afraid, the biggest fear is of quote-unquote death, and many other subordinate fears. And I say subordinate because ultimately when people say they're afraid of one thing or another, it sort of leads back to this concept of being afraid of death. But there are many other fears. I don't want you to think there aren't. And then frustration, which is anger. when we can't get our desires met when we want them met, and when we can't seem to achieve the goals and other things that we plan for, we may actually abort our planning and do terrible things to ourselves, destroying consciousness, because planning is part of consciousness, which then, you guessed it, causes us to go into illusion, because then we look for, yep, we look for the escapes. We want to escape. Some of us have difficulty even challenging our discipline of our own, we'll say, nature. Because, like, as an example, we should or should not eat at a certain time. Maybe we eat too much or too little. We don't sleep enough or we sleep too much. We do things that are not good for us because they relieve us of these boogeymen that continually plague ourselves. And, again, those things are there because, in the bottom line of it, there is some level of selfishness going on inside of us. And unfortunately, it is human nature to be selfish. Now, I got to talk about this for a minute. I'm going pretty fast in this, I know, but I want to get a lot in this hour. So please stay with me, bear with me. And if you really think I'm going too fast, call me and you'll always slow me up. But here's the point. When we're facing these conflicts and we're dealing with these issues in our life, it is so difficult for human beings to, we'll say, do the straight and narrow, be able to continue to focus away from just ourselves. And it's in our nature. And you might say, oh, aren't we supposed to be souls? Yeah, that's one of our natures. But the other nature is that there's this kind of infantile, it's really about 8 to 10 years older than a healthy, normal adult, part of us that's subconscious. I call it the personality, but other people have different names for it, so don't get confused by that. But in any rate, there's this part of us that was created by our soul to protect us and kind of keep us controlling the very basics of life. And unfortunately, that side of us is we're supposed to grow out of. We are. But humanity in general, at the present time on this planet, now I'm being very ethnocentric and talking about us here, humanity at this time on this planet has not developed itself enough to, on a consistent basis from lifetime to lifetime, because we do come back and do this whole thing over again, get rid of that part of ourselves most of the time. So it's over-controlling, it's immature, and it tends to work more on a desire basis, like, well, I want this, so that's what I live for, so I live for my desires. And it also tends to live, we'll say, with simplistic thinking. Because if it's 8 to 10 years old, which in general, that's my, I'm a psychologist in the background. You know, that's what I used to do. So I'm talking about psychology here, developmental psychology. People, their personalities, their subconscious part of themselves, just don't test out beyond about 8 to 10 years old. In other words, if we're functioning mostly in a subconscious way, which is what most people are functioning most of the time, they're actually children. Now, you might say, well, I'm not a child. I'm 50 years old. I'm 25. I'm 45. Well, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're functioning subconsciously, you're only 8 to 10. Yeah. And this is something I want you to test for yourself. How do you know when you're functioning subconsciously? Well, I'll give you answers to that in a little while. I love those little cliffhangers, so you'll have to think about it. Gives you something to think about when we go to break and come back. I'll tell you today, but in the meantime, it's something to think about. How would you know when you're subconscious? Okay, so that's our problem. We've got this nature, this part of us that is subconscious, screws off, wants to control, but then becomes over-controlling, and then when it becomes too far over-controlling, says, hey, I quit. I'm going to repress everything and not control anything. Talk about mixed up, we are. And mixed up in a bad way, because this leads to illusion. And illusion leads to a lack of meaning, to destruction of our senses and bodies, to a destruction of our ability to connect with others, to use our creativity in ways that makes us part of our own creator, makes our life incredibly meaningful, too, by the way. And it interferes with all those things. That's a terrible part of illusion. So today we are definitely, I'm definitely going to give answers, believe me. Stay tuned, you're going to get them. But I think it's very important to recognize that we are really on the, we'll say, the edge of things at the present time in human development. It isn't going to be like this forever. Humanity is growing. Each lifetime that people go through brings them closer to awakening and not being so subconscious and being more conscious in that lifetime than the last one. The odds are in that direction, believe me. The good news is that it's tilted like that. God created it that way. How? Because although we screw up for sure here, this is the most difficult place to not be illusioned in, because we're overwhelmed with highly energetic sense. The senses are, you have very dense energies coming in that just have a totality of so much energy in them, but that's running at such a slow pace. It's kind of a weird thing. It's energetic in the sense that it's heavy energy, but it isn't energetic in the sense that it's high frequency. It's very low frequency, actually. But it has so much energy in it at one time that our senses don't respond well. What happens is they get too much, we'll say, of slow-moving energy that confuses our senses and makes it so we don't really have a good chance of overcoming illusion in this realm. But this is the place where we need to do it the most, because it's the place where most darkness exists, right here. So we come here first because that's our probably best shot, working from, you know, a sort of a virgin set of senses, you might say, and work with our etheric physical senses the most here. Because the place where we are most conscious in, which is where we live, are the set of senses that we sense the most through. When we die from here, we go to the astral world, where we rely almost entirely on our astral senses, a little bit in mental senses, and our physical senses are gone, 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 because that body died. So you can't use the senses once they're gone. There is a slight exception to that rule. If we enlighten the senses, then that part becomes part of our astral senses fused together. But that's like, you know, for most of us, it ain't going to make much difference. Okay, so when we go on and we live our life in a state in which our senses that are much higher frequency, but the energy is not overwhelming us and it's not so dense and difficult to deal with, we do it more right. Even if we're at the equal levels of selfishness, we live better, and guess what? We're even less selfish, because naturally, as soon as our senses improve, our consciousness goes up and we start living a bit better. So on the way back to becoming our soul again, we are enlightening ourselves a bit each year, each decade that we live in these subtle dimensions. That gives us a leg up, and it makes it so that our next lifetime, because we process a lot of the stuff we did before, our next lifetime we do a bit better. So it isn't like we're in a, you know, going around in a circle. That would be a terrible thing. Well, talking about terrible things, not really. We do need to go to break now, and I will be back. I'll be back in about 2.5 minutes, and we'll talk more about this. See you then.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
And this is Niles McFowler again for Why Life Is. Tonight we're talking about illusions. Yep, I'm going to try and help everybody, maybe some, overcome illusions, finding ways to overcome them, to beat those little devils away. And the first part I was just trying to explain what an illusion really is and how it operates is, I guess, the next part. But I want to continue on to mention that illusion does not happen just while we're physically alive in the etheric physical body only. It does occur, unfortunately, in our astral bodies. That's when people say, I have feelings. Those feelings are part of your astral senses. I mean, it's good you have feelings, by the way. And then mental senses, which most people go, huh? Yeah, because mental senses are very difficult for most people to determine that they have while they're physically alive, because the physical senses just completely overcome them, and it's like you don't even notice them. What is a mental sense? It's the ability for you, me, all of us, to sense the mental thought of others. You might say, well, isn't that like hearing or something? No, you don't hear mental senses. You hear words, that's true, but mental sense is the ability to understand how other people are thinking and how you may be thinking yourself. You can use your senses to determine what your own bodies are doing. I know I'm giving away that part I was talking about that has to do with how do you know when you're in illusion. Well, it has to do with using different bodies to determine one body to the next. I'm giving you a clue, but I'm not going to tell you how to do it yet. All right, so here we go. Let's look at this whole thing and see what we can do about it in terms of, well, first of all, how does this whole thing work and can we overcome it and on and on. Okay. So illusion happens because we're focused in on ourself, and we're focused in on ourself, again, because we have parts of us that are subconscious or unconscious, depends on, do you take your pick what you're doing at the time, and the way to get around it is to cause yourself to become more conscious, and part of the process is called spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline. It's not like somebody's coming in and say, I don't come to your door and say, hi, I'm here to discipline you spiritually. No, I wouldn't do that, even if I could. And no other person I know of that is involved in doing anything spiritual would ever do such a thing. Because spiritual discipline is the kind of discipline that can only be done by one from inside themselves. And it's always done because they're choosing to get over their illusions and to become of greater service and a co-creator with others and with God. That's the reason people do this stuff. Not because they want to earn some medals or become some kind of rank or something in the spiritually well-endowed or something. No, it's about the inner life. It's about meaning in life that comes from living in a way that is co-creative and does all those wonderful things. And that leads you into a higher state of consciousness. So, spiritual discipline. How do we do this stuff? Well, the first thing is that the motive becomes a number one. You got to be doing it because you actually want to do things for others, not because you want to get a medal yourself or because you even want to look in the mirror and like yourself. Those are traps, unfortunately. You've got to do it because you really want to help others to do the same. Not others to become happy, wealthy, and well, although it's okay to help people maybe to improve their health to some extent, but it's mostly because you want them to participate with you as a soul, which means that you're really concerned about creating more of the Creator in yourself and others so that this can continue on, so that God can grow in yourself and others. It's a wonderful thing, really. Okay, that's got to be the motive. How do you get to that motive? You get to the motive by getting through the illusions of wrong motive. That's the first step. Because if you got wrong motive, getting through the rest of the illusions, you're never going to do. I hope that makes sense. It makes sense to me. So the very first thing that people need to do is to deal with the wrong motive in dealing with illusions. Are you still with me on this? I hope I didn't lose you on that turn I just did. Yeah, you've got to get over that. And believe it or not, for most people, that is where they really have some bad illusions when they start in this situation. I know it's hard to believe because you're hearing it from me. You say, well, why don't I just decide? I'll just decide right now that I will not have wrong motive whenever I'm trying to spiritually discipline myself or do anything else to make my senses better and to make my life better and to do this and that and help others to do the same. No. You see, the problem is that that doesn't work that way. The first thing is you've got to have the positive side, not the negative. The secret to this whole thing is to find positive reasons for creating virtue or light within yourself and others and not harp on the negatives. You can't get rid of the negatives unless you first have dealt with finding the positives. That's the tough part. And you might say, well, I didn't know that. Well, that's the reason you're tuned in. Because I think I know it, and you're listening to me. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm an illusion about this. But if I am, of course, you can call me and tell me or email me and all that stuff. You can let me know. But what I have found and what I've read others have found is this truism or truth, and that is that you've got to have a positive reason to start with so that your motives are right. Now, I'm going to tell you something about some things that have happened in my life. In the last year and a half, someone was working with me. I'm going to give you initials. You had initial JM. Yeah, I hope you don't know JM. But if you do, that's too bad. And this guy had wrong motives. Always had wrong motives. Since the day I met him, he had wrong motives. But I tried to get him to change his motives and what he was doing. But most of his motives revolved around two issues: self-importance and control and power, and looking like he's doing the right thing, and even sometimes trying to change the bad things he was doing. So he was, well, part of it was good because he was trying to change bad things, but unfortunately, he never had the positive. Didn't have the positive. At no time did I ever know this guy to have a positive perspective. He wasn't doing things to really make a difference in a positive way. He didn't care about that. And you can bet your bottom dollar he crashed and burned, unfortunately. But I think the important thing here is that when one looks at this kind of problem, you have to really, really go deep because there are so many landmines to blowing yourself up and creating a situation in which there is literally the wrong outcome. It is possible to end up on the other side of what you're trying to do by just having the wrong motives. How do you know if you have wrong motives? Well, you're not going to maybe like this answer, but you need the input of others. And you need to work and co-serve with other people because that's how you know where your motives really lie. They're tested on a daily basis when you involve yourself with others. If you try to function alone, the chances of having positive motives being the real issues behind what you're doing are virtually zero, because most things are so complicated and difficult to do that you need to work with other people, particularly in today's world. Well, maybe if 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, people could do more things alone. But today the world is so difficult and complicated, we need to work together. And we've evolved, we've developed ourselves for many more lifetimes so that we can do this without there being as much conflict as there used to be. So it's through working with others that we can determine the right and wrong motive issue. And that is where the Achilles heel is for most people. So you can see how important this becomes. And that's where most people who have wrong motive fail. They can't work with others. And they may invent 100 reasons why they can't, or 1,000, or 10,000, or 1,000,000. And you almost invariably know that if that's what's going on with them, then they have wrong motive. That's right. That's kind of like almost a test, in a sense. Now, can you get through it? Can you work your way through it? Yeah, if you really try, even if you have wrong motive, if you're working with others, and if you take to heart what the others are doing, and you see the right motive they have in what they're doing, then you can succeed. Now, it doesn't mean the others are perfect. By any stretch of the imagination, they couldn't be true because they're human. But it means that you can learn a lot about your illusions and your imperfections, and especially wrong motive. Okay, let's move on. So let's assume we can get through the motive thing, which is a biggie, believe me. It takes most people a couple of years of working with themselves and working with others in a spiritually disciplined way to find out their illusions of wrong motive. That's the average, and it's probably worse for some. Don't be surprised. Some people take lifetimes getting through this mess. All right, so let's move on to the next area. The next area that can come in. What about someone who is, okay, I've got the right amount of, because I got positive motives, positive. I notice my negative problems, but I have positive things that I want to do. That's what I'm driven to do. I want to really make a difference to help others and help this world become a godly place, a virtuous place, one that we all would love to live in, one in which beauty replaces the ugliness and chaos. Think about those words that I'm using, because those are good tests. Okay, so let's say that you really have that down. Now, what's the next major part of this whole thing? Well, the spiritual discipline part starts with very basic things. It's going to surprise you. It's not like, oh, gee, I got to walk on fire and be able to fly from building to building or something. No, no, no. It's simple things. It's like getting 8 hours of sleep, give or take, a night. It's consistently eating the right kinds of food in enough quantity so you don't get fat and you don't get starved and malnutritioned. It's choosing to not use drugs at all. Drugs cause a less than conscious state and oftentimes a severe subconscious or unconscious state, which means you gain and they destroy sense amazingly fast. And what is included in drugs? Smoking, any type of tobacco. I don't care what you do with the tobacco. Just looking at it is probably not good for you, but certainly if you're going to chew it, if you're going to snort it, if you're going to smoke it, it's not good. Very bad, actually. It destroys the senses and the bodies. It ages the bodies. Because when we're talking about destruction, we're also talking about aging. You want to know how well you're doing? Look in the mirror. It'll tell you. Compare it to your date of birth. You say, oh, well, that's all my genes. No, your genes are related to your karma, yeah. But how well you're overcoming your karma determines what you see in the mirror, honestly. It isn't what you're born with, it's what you create. How well you create. Now, some people have to create a lot more to overcome past karma. I'm not going to disagree with that. But we all have that opportunity, and we're all in charge of what we do with ourselves. Your life is exactly the way you've created. Don't blame me. It's your life. Look in the mirror. If the mirror is telling you, well, I look 10 years older than I should, And if you see that, then you're making some mistakes, big ones. Yes, you can take supplements, you can do other things, but if you're taking supplements and you're smoking cigarettes, believe me, it isn't going to do you any good. You're going to age faster because of that anyway, because it negates the effects of the supplements. Hell, it may help you a little bit. I don't know. But for the most part, you're probably wasting your money and time. Okay, so besides smoking, well, anything. Today I was discussing caffeine with a young, maybe soon-to-be member of our group here. And she's actually the daughter of one of the members here. And the amazing thing is that caffeine actually not only causes a number of issues with sense, it diminishes sense and consciousness, but it actually has a debilitating effect on the body. Now, I know some people say, well, I read this research project that said caffeine makes you feel better and you can be more alert and do this stuff. No, it doesn't. Not from a spiritual side. In the long run, you drink caffeine, you're going to pay for it by reducing your sense and your awareness and consciousness. And so don't think that it's going to make things better. Well, what if I didn't sleep? Well, if you didn't sleep, you didn't hear the first thing I said. You're going to need to sleep for 8 hours. Yeah, if you're not sleeping, you need caffeine to stay awake. You got a problem. Of course. The first thing is to go to cure the problem, not to, make it exacerbated by taking caffeine or some other kind of substance to keep yourself up. You need to deal with the nature of your subconscious self. And remember what I said. You're trying to maybe get something for nothing in a sense by trying to stay up longer, do things at odd times, or maybe you're frustrated, or maybe you're fearful and anxious and you can't sleep. There's lots of things going on. Or maybe you're depressed because you're repressing too many emotions. All of these things are parts of getting yourself straightened out. Huge numbers of people are having problems with these very basic things. And you can't deal with the more, we'll say, esoteric elements, which I will talk about, of spiritually disciplining yourself if you're totally ignoring the most basics. And we'll talk about some of those esoterics when we come back. And closer to 3 minutes now on our next break.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Well, we're back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we're talking about, I don't know if it's a favorite subject, but it's certainly an important subject for me. It's dealing with how to overcome illusions. And also, talking about in general some of the, we'll say, stickier parts about living more spiritually. So it's kind of like all wrapped up in that. Again, we're dealing with a show entirely on metaphysics and spirituality, and that makes sense on this radio station, and it makes sense in general to do that. So let me go on with this idea that, okay, we've got problems because we've got bodies that get illusioned, and we got three different bodies in general that get illusioned, and as they get illusioned, they just don't operate correctly. They age. Aging is just a process of the senses becoming less and less capable of bringing in accurate information, in some cases even any information. And the corresponding organs and glands and other parts of the bodies start to fail, because without good information, nothing works right. We call them mistakes, but what they are is a waste of time. And what is time? Time is a measure of how much we are either connecting with God and with everyone else who is doing so, or we're distancing ourselves from God and everybody else is doing so. Time is a measure of that. The more time it takes to do something, the more we're wasting time and not connecting with God and those who are doing so. Oh, you like that, huh? Okay, well, I'll talk about time someday. I love time. Time is a real interesting subject. Okay, but time is connected to illusion. So when we're wasting time, when we find that a lot of time was used up, that's a sign we're in illusion. That's a sign. That's one of those things that can tell us that. Another thing that can tell us we're in illusion is when forces seem to be coming into our life from virtually all over the place and we can't even figure out how or why. Then we're in illusion. Now, it is true that if we work together with others, we share in their karma, and it's no longer just our mistakes, but all those we share with that in some ways can cause forces in our life. But that's kind of a very big and general idea. For most people, it's a very individual thing because they don't really work that much with others. Depends to what level you're doing. That's where that formula comes in for that. Okay, how else can we know if we're in illusion? Because here's one of the problems. As we lose sense in a particular body, we lose the ability to know that we lost the sense. And we actually lose the ability to know we lost the sense, in most cases, faster than we lose it. Yep, tell me that isn't a quagmire. Okay, how do you get around that? You can try using the senses from a different body at the same time so that that body is not particularly stressed. That body is more likely quiescent. And if you do so, you can then sense that something's wrong. Let me give you an example from my own life, because I want to make sure that you all think that I don't walk on water. Certainly haven't tried that yet, in any rate. Okay, so here, I make all kinds of illusion mistakes. Sometimes I get teed off at various people. Yeah, I do that. I get angry because they didn't do the good thing for others. It's usually not too much about me, but sometimes it does directly involve me. But these days it seems to involve a lot of other people. But regardless, it doesn't matter. Okay, so that's an illusion. Why is it an illusion to be angry? I mean, you can read these books on saying, get it out, you know, begin angry and whatever. You can go to some therapist that even tell you to just express it. No, that's not the right way, in my opinion. It's not right also to repress anger, by the way, but it is right to do the following. Let's say that I'm angry. The anger is coming from the astral body, astral, meaning the body that has all those feelings in it, you know. Oh, I feel angry, terrible angry. And usually associated with anger, especially in my case, I come up with some really fascinating creative imaginations. You want to hear one of them? Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Yes, I am. I got someone in the room with me saying, don't tell them that, don't tell them that. But I want you to know it, really. Sometimes I actually say, gee, I'd like to see that person turn it into a cockroach. Yeah, a big one. If any of you have ever read Metamorphosis by Kafka, one day he woke up and found himself, the guy, the character in the book. He was really talking about himself and how he felt about his own family. But besides that, woke up and found out he was a 14-inch cockroach. Well, I think, well, what would it be like if we turned that person into a 14-inch cockroach? That didn't fix him. Well, you'll see, that's not a very good thing. But associated with anger is almost always a creative, imaginative thought. That's how you know that you really are angry, and you're really using your astral body. Now, what can you do to get around that? Well, you can switch it to the mental body. You can start thinking about how the other person is thinking that is doing the wrong, and how they're thinking wrongly, and therefore how you're not seeing the wrongly thinking they're doing, and how you can change how you think, and maybe change your way of reacting and help others to change their way of reacting around people who are doing bad things. Believe it or not, that works. It actually works because you start getting a sense of control in the situation that is really at the bottom of this whole thing. Remember that control business? The subconscious part of us doesn't feel in control past a certain point. Yeah, and so this is a good way of processing it. Now, you may not do it right away. Sometimes I wait a whole half an hour or so, make sure I have a lot of good time imaginings. No, it's not, and that's, I don't recommend that. I'm just telling you what I do. Okay, so if you really want to get over this, you need to kind of switch bodies, because the bodies and senses that you're using the most illusioned at the time are the ones that you're probably not going to be able to sense the most from about how you are illusioned and how you're going to get out of it. Let's say that it's a more etheric, physical kind of thing. You have a sense of, we'll say, inertia. Like you don't want to, you're lazy. You don't want to do anything. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that because I'm tired. Because I'm just. Okay, how can you deal with that particular situation? In that situation, maybe switching to the astral body actually might work by seeing, imagining the outcome if you change your behavior. Your physical behavior in a new direction that has an outcome which collectively gets you co-serving with others and doing something good and making some beauty in the world. And then we say, well, gee, if I really do the work and achieve that, this is what I get. And then suddenly the inertia in the physical body is reduced because you then have more energy to move forward into doing that. Again, changing the particular senses that are dominating you at any one time is a helpful, we'll say, recipe for trying to overcome this. Now, what about the people who are illusioned equally or terribly in all three bodies at one time? What the heck are they going to do to get over this? Because they can't just switch to another body because all the bodies are unanimously saying together, we hate it, you know, it's terrible, I don't want to do it. Okay. Then in those particular cases, when one is stuck in that kind of dilemma, now this is going to take more fortitude, and it definitely requires a different, we'll say, perspective. It is best to formulate a plan in which one is thinking only in the future time. In other words, don't think about the past and do not concern yourself with the present, but formulate a plan that is far enough out into the future. You'll be using most of your mental senses, by the way, but that you carry through, not just mentally, but you then see creative, you cloak it with creative imagination, and then you make out a list in detail, in physical sense, of how you're going to do it, carry it through in the physical world. A full plan, not just a mental plan like, oh yeah, I can see myself maybe, you know, inventing this or that. No, you have to have exactly right down to the minutest details if you're going to take it down to the physical world, every part of it. That kind of plan can get you through these sticky parts where all three of the bodies are vastly illusioned and you're really stuck. It takes fortitude to do this. It also takes usually the help of others. You need to communicate with others, have them give you some ideas creatively of how you can overcome this problem or that problem. And it has to be a complete plan. It's actually called, in some circles, white magic. You need to collectively start with the mental body, work through the astral, and then to the physical, and it has to be completed so that you can see all sides of it and you can actually do what you're planning on doing, and then you have to carry it through. You actually have to behaviorally do this, whatever it is. I know this is very general, but I'm trying to, and I don't have enough time to give you a full example about it because we'll run out of time. But I'm trying to show you how to get by the very worst circumstances. When you're really down and out, when you really don't have enough sense left to deal with something. And remember, look for help for others, and look for people who are already successful at some parts, some elements of what you are being unsuccessful with. They don't have to be successful of everything that you're trying to achieve. That's why you look for more than one person. But look for people who are successful in this way, another one in that way, and maybe get them all together if you can, because that really works. Get them all together. If you can't, then, I don't know, do a conference call, then at least talk to each one as fast, as much together in time as possible so that you're unifying your thought through what you're hearing from these others. Very important. Okay, what else can we do to overcome illusion? This whole thing seems to be a really difficult problem for human beings. Okay? Another element. If we're going to truly spiritually discipline ourselves, then we need to go a bit beyond the very basics, and I just touched on them. I know it's a short hour. It seems to fly by for me, too. But in addition to the basics, there needs to be, we'll say, much higher levels of esoteric thinking, much more thinking, dealing with things by seeing the true reasons for why we are doing what we're doing and others are doing what they're doing. That's where you go, you sort of jump from, gee, I'll get 8 hours of sleep to, maybe I'll figure out the real reasons that people are being excessively selfish about global warming and they're not changing to conserving energy even at the smallest levels. By employing this sort of, we'll say, meditative response, we can get much deeper into our own psyche and that of others and look towards soul methods of solving problems. How can we work at the highest levels rather than just the basic levels to make a difference? When we do that, we activate in ourselves we'll call it a higher self response. When we do that and we're willing to really put ourselves out there, everything I've dealt with up to this point in consciousness has really been more about the lower self. But there's a part of our soul connected to it that I call the higher self, that when we start thinking about things at really deep levels and look for solutions collectively with others now, then that being, I'll call it, because it's sort of like an alter ego to our soul. Some people call it the solar angel, inner guide. There's a lot of words for it. This angelic part of us, really, that lives in our mental part, in the mental part of existence, mental world, will help us to overcome illusion by giving us instantaneously great new answers for not ourselves per se, but for ways that we can help others. For ways that we can be collectively with others geniuses. And you actually, amazing things can happen to this. So it's a beautiful thing, truly is, and it's a way that you can take the basic elements and now start putting in some almost magical elements, but they're not, there's real scientific reason for everything, because I believe everything can be explained in science if science is true. Problem is, most of science isn't, so we call it magic. But this is so amazing that while we are trying to get to and to work on the highest levels, there's this extra help. And that extra help can make all the difference in overcoming some of the worst illusions we have. You can even ask for the help, but not for yourself. You can only ask for the help so that you can collectively be a better instrument in creating more of God with others. And if you ask for it exactly that way, and you're really diligent in trying to make that difference, you'll get it. And I hope that all of you out there will start participating in this, and maybe co-participating with the group that I participate in. You can contact us. And if you want to do some good, we can help. And if you want to work with us, we would love for you to do that, really. It's available. Go to our website. It's agelesswisdom.com. And when you're there, you can also listen to other shows I've done. You can do all kinds of stuff. But also, email us. Let us know what you're interested in and how you can co-serve with us. We are interested in doing that. You didn't know that? Well, that's the way it is, really. Hey, I'm running out of time, and I don't even have time to tell you where I'm going to be or what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. Next week. And until next week, listen, I hope you all have gained some small amount of understanding of how to overcome your illusions. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.
Practical and the mystical.